think I can start now. Been sitting back there waiting. Okay, there we go. How does that sound, man? Man, I tell you what, I'm just thrilled to be here. I may not show it on my face, but inside I'm all bubbly and happy and stuff. And man, I heard some good news. Shaking hands, Rubino's pregnant again. Praise the Lord. I was wondering, you know, they live in Rochester now. Like, you know, I mean, that's set. This would be number 7. Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay, good, man. Where's Brother Chris? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure he's comfortable back there. Okay, very good. Okay. He's on the recliner back there. He put the feet up. If I can keep him awake, I'll consider it successful, you know. But, man, it's just a blessing to be here, like I said. And trying to get my attention. Okay. It makes me nervous a little bit behind there. But this is a rough crew, but anyway. Like I said, man, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to see people, man, that I know, that I've seen you when you're, man, really small, growing up through youth group. And a lot of these I didn't even have in youth group. A lot of these just new, man, to the last couple years. And it's crazy. I've been gone 4 years. I've been gone a couple months ago, and it just seems like it wasn't that long ago. But, man, time flies, I guess, when you're having fun. But First Bible Church has always been a big part of my life, man. Very important. I mean, in 1986, when I moved to New York City, Staten Island, I was 10 years old, and I got saved in the church, February 4th, 1986. And man, grew up in there, grew up in youth group, just like you guys are. And other than going to the Philippines for a few years and living in Las Vegas for a few years, and then moving back to New York has been a big, just a huge part of my life. And like I said, it's just a blessing to see everybody here, man. There's not a day that goes by, honestly, I can tell you, there's not a day that goes by in Rochester that I don't think about you guys and the youth group that I had. And it's nice to meet newer people here. But just, man, always reminded of just the things that we did and the good times that we had. And Matt Manella and Josh and Marky reminded me last night of a few things, you know, and we won't get into all that. But man, it just puts a smile on my face. It really does. I could be at work sometimes on the roof and just start laughing. You know what I mean? Just thinking about something that happened, and what a blessing, man. And anyway, Chris, yeah, get comfortable back there. Yeah, put the thing up. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, very good. Just make sure. Okay, I couldn't go on without you doing that, bro. Good. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Listen, I know you're tired. I am too. Okay, I know we had a rough day, a long day. I know you're looking forward to it. It's funny because you're tired now, but as soon as we're dismissed, you know, you're just going to go crazy again. But I understand that. I understand you're tired, and I'm not going to be long tonight. I've been known to lie, but at the same time, I just want to get a few things across. Man, I like to teach, I like to preach, but I'd like to also be transparent with you just about some things, even later on in the message, man, just some testimonies, just be transparent with you, some things that happened in my life, and just been a blessing. I think it could help you. And but in Isaiah chapter 62, and I'm glad you opened that door, even though I have a feeling like a raccoon or a mongoose is going to come running through there right after, you know. That'd be pretty funny. Isaiah chapter 62. Let's read the first 7 verses, and then we'll pray. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Verse 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these young people. Lord, be able to come here and get away, Lord, all of us, to just be able to get away from the world and just the things of this life and the busyness of it, Father, and to be able to come to this camp, Lord, and draw closer to you, Lord, and to each other, Father, And I thank you, Lord, for the good things that have happened thus far. And I thank you, Lord, for even speaking to us this morning and using Brother Bobby, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just, as we continue, Lord, I pray, Father, you just use me, Lord. You know I'm not sufficient for these things. And, Lord, just the things that I want to teach and preach tonight, Father, Lord, I need your help. And we ask, Lord, that this would just be profitable, Lord, and that we can just apply it into our lives and into our hearts this evening, Father. And just thank you, Lord, for these young people. Thank you for the great memories, Father, I've had with them. And what a blessing it is to see them grow up, Lord, to want to serve you, Lord, and to still continue remaining faithful to you, Lord. And I pray you just bless this time now, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't take my vest off because this is my camp vest. So you're going to see me up here sweating, but that's okay. Okay. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 62. We see it just in the context here. We just see a future restoration of Israel, you know, of Jerusalem. And you know, just Israel, give me a little background. You know, Israel, as they came out in the book of Exodus, the Lord delivered them out of bondage and going through the wilderness, their wilderness wanderings, and to the land that God gave them and them going into the land. All the way up until now, at this point, there was a lot of ups and downs in their lives. A lot of ups and downs, and you know that from reading the Old Testament. A lot of victories and defeats. Many victories and defeats. And now here in Isaiah, it's pretty much, it's come to pretty much utter failure. I mean, they've really messed up big time and are about to go into captivity and are already there at this time. But in any case, you know what, though? The thing is that Israel should have known better. These people should have known better because something was given to them that was given to no other nation. And in fact, in Romans, you don't have to go there, but in Romans chapter 9, verse 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the Israelites, and he talks about who pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. All these blessings and everything are given to Israel. There's no reason why it should have been some roller coaster ride in their wanderings and going into this land. It shouldn't have been that way because of the blessings that God kind of bestowed on them. They were His people. But they pretty much failed miserably. Failed miserably, like I have many times in my life. Believe me. In verse number 12, though, if you look down in chapter 62, verse 12, the blessing of it is even though they failed miserably, okay, the Lord still loved them. The Lord still loved them. He was long-suffering and merciful to them. I mean, imagine a God like that. So that's the God we serve, regardless of how much we mess up, man. You know, Brother Patch has said it. We got to know who we are. And it's not like, hey, we abound in, you know, that we get involved with sin so grace can abound because, oh, we can always come back and just ask God to forgive us. No, it's not about that. But you know what? It's never too late to come back to Him. He'll always take you back. And what an example we have here with Israel. Because even though with all their mess, look, it says in verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. We sang that this evening. The redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. So the Lord still wanted to bless them. He still wanted to keep that promise to Israel, regardless of how much they messed up. And that tells you a lot about the God that we serve. But along the way, there were serious consequences. If you read through the Old Testament, there's many consequences for their actions of not following the Lord. How many families were broken up? How many people were killed? I mean, if you took a count, I never tried, but if you took a count of how many people were killed by plagues, by enemies, by all these things that happened because of them messing up and not following God, there was serious consequences made, and yet God still remained faithful. You know what? There's a lot of consequences, and you got to hear me out, young people, I'm telling you. There's consequences for not following God and doing things His way. There's always consequences. Okay, I just turned 40 this year. I've been saved for 30 years. Grew up in church. Okay, I was saved. I was probably saved when I was 4 or 5. I said the sinner's prayer every Sunday night, pretty much. But it wasn't until I was 10 years old that I said, okay, this is it. I gotta just, you know, get saved and make this the date. But I mean, growing up in church, let me tell you something. The consequences. There was always consequences for my action, for my actions. I had the Word of God, we have instructions, and there's always consequences that come along with the decisions that we make. You know why? And you know what? Regardless, though, the Lord wants to bless you. You know what I mean? He wants to guide you guys. He wants to lead you. You got to understand that it's not, just like somebody said maybe during the song leading, it's not rules and regulations. Not, God's not looking for you not to have fun. You know what I mean? And like, okay, we have to do this. No, that's just religion. That's just religion. But you know what the Lord wants to do, man? He wants to guide you. He wants the best for you in every aspect of your life. Is it always going to be easy? No, all of our paths are going to be different, man. Some of us are going to have to deal with things that one another don't deal with. And it's going to be more and more difficult. Maybe for someone it's easier. But regardless, the Lord wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants to bless us. That's what he wants to do for us. And that's a blessing. And regardless of how many times we fall, you know what? He still takes us back, just like he did with Israel. He wanted to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But you know what? The responsibility was on them. You know, God did everything he had to do, but the responsibility was on them. And they actually had to take some action in verse 10. And this is like a long kind of introduction just to get to actually very simple things I want to talk about tonight. But in verse 10, he tells them, hey, go through. He tells them, prepare, cast up, gather out, lift up a standard for the people. He's telling them all these actions that, you know, they had responsibility on their own to take some action to live right. You know, God will bless you. He wants to lead you. But you know what? There's some things that we have to do. You know what I mean? We have to stay in the Word of God. We got to pray. We got to, you know what's going on and what the Lord wants us to do too. It's not just, okay, I just go through life and, you know, whatever happens, happens. The Lord still loves me. I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. It's not how it works. There'll be consequences for that. The Lord wants to guide us. But anyway, God has done his part already. And if I bring it here to like New Testament, our salvation, God has went above and beyond and done more than enough for us. If he just saved us, that would have been enough. If it was just salvation, yet the grace, everything that he adds onto it is such a blessing and it's so undeserved. But now what is our response? You know, but what is our response? But before we, but even before this, in chapter 62, I want to show you the two verses I actually want to speak about a little bit here. And like I said, I won't be long, and these are simple things, man. Verse 6 and 7. Man, Bobby started off with like a home run this morning, man. I mean, he like got on us. That was a sobering message. I agree with you. A sobering message. And it was, man, it wasn't just for young people, man. That got me good, that one. And you know what? He started off that way, and I just want to continue that. But I'm going to give you something just real simple, stuff you probably already know. But in here, it was just a blessing to me when I came across reading this. It really spoke to me in verse 6 and 7. Look at verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know what? Do you even care what God thinks? You know what I mean? Do you want him to do something in your life? There has to be that desire first. There has to be a desire there first. But right here, In verse six, and this isn't even my message either, but look at those watchmen. I've set watchmen. Watchmen are there to watch out, man, to protect you. They were there in those city walls to watch for enemies. And you know what? Each one of us, honestly, especially young people, and me too, there's men around us and women around us in ministry and church, and your youth leader, young adults, your pastor, they're watchmen. They watch for you, and they watch for your souls. And that's what they do, and they do it out of love. You know what? And you know what, one thing I see a lot, just in years of being saved and even growing up as a teenager, don't resent Christianity because of a mistake that another adult makes or one of these watchmen make. Okay, none of us are perfect, man. Let me tell you, hang out with me for a little while. I'm definitely going to fail you. Man, I'm going to get you upset. I'm going to do something. Don't resent Christianity because of a bad example that you've had. Or someone's made a mistake. I know your parents aren't perfect. I know youth leaders aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. The people that are the watchmen that watch for you and love you and care for you, we're not perfect. We mess up all the time. But don't, I know we're supposed to be lead by example, but hey, don't resent Christianity and just decide to walk out on God because of a mistake that one person makes. Okay, and that's a big thing I see just growing up and seeing that, man. And I understand hypocrisy is a bad thing and it gets people out of church, and that's why the watchmen have to try to be faithful and be a good example. But don't resent Christianity because of that. But anyway, in verse 6 and 7, do we want to be established in our lives, the young people? You know what? You're going to come up with situations and difficult decisions, man, that are coming up in your life. You may have already experienced them. I don't know. Some of you younger ones, it's coming. There's going to be big decisions. It doesn't get easier as you get older. Okay, there's some big decisions and situations, circumstances that God may allow you to be put in okay, to teach you something, to see how serious you are and to see how much you rely on him. And at the end of this message, in a few moments, I'm going to give you a testimony, something that happened to me that God really opened my eyes to these three points, man. They're right there. And had to teach me this. He had to teach me, and he taught me this from the age of 19 to 22 years old. He taught me this. Not saying that I've attained, you know what I mean? Not by any means. It's a work in progress. You know what I mean? I'm pretty much a mess, and I'm a work in progress. But it's something that he taught me when I was young, just a little bit older than some of you, probably the same age. But look at the first thing in verse 6. He says, I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. First thing, ye that make mention of the Lord. Making mention of the Lord. You know what it means to make mention? To mention something? I got a dictionary definition just to make it look smart, but a brief notice, a remark expressed in words or in writing. You know, if you mention something, it's just very casual, right? It's very brief. Hey, just mention to him this, I mentioned that, right? It's just something casual, brief. You ever hear of an honorable mention? You know what an honorable mention is? Like, I didn't look up the definition, but I got a couple of honorable mentions in school growing up. It's pretty much like, you're an idiot, but at least you showed up. You know, and that was all my honorable mentions. You know, like, you didn't make it to the top because you're a dumbbell, you know what I mean? But we'll just mention that you were there, right? That happened when we had Spanish. I remember Mrs. Maracus' class, they gave me a certificate of achievement. Man, I didn't learn anything. I was such an idiot. I failed the thing miserably. I got honorable mention. I was just mentioned. And you know what's nice, though? It's actually a blessing to be mentioned. Isn't that a good feeling when someone mentions you? I get mentioned, say, hey, man, Matt Scroy. You turn out to be a good basketball player, man. One of these days, you'll be as good as me when you get older. I'm telling you, you keep practicing. If I mention it, flattering. It's flattering when someone mentions you, right? In a good context, okay? When someone mentions your name or mentions something good that you've done, that's a blessing. You know, one of your talents, one of your accomplishments, something you've done, if someone just even mentions it a little bit, isn't that flattering? It's flattering for me. Someone, you know, throws your name up there. And I know we don't do ministry, so, you know, and things to try to for eye service and men pleasers. But it is a blessing when someone at least, man, just throws your name out. Well, praise the Lord. You know, they did this. Or, man, they're really good at this. Thank you for doing this, right? It's a blessing to be mentioned. You know what, though? What a disappointment if you have your name mentioned in a negative way. Right? So that's the flip side of the coin. It's actually disappointing when you have your name mentioned in a negative way. And man, you know, sorry to say, I probably had that more so than the good thing. It was always nervous when someone says, I heard a lot about you that never met me. And like, oh man, you know, what'd they say? But I remember when I first, when I went to the Philippines, I met my wife, you know what I mean? As I was in love with her, she's trying to get away from me. But regardless, I remember they had a, man, I don't know what, they were talking and asking people, what are they looking for in a husband and wife? So it was her turn. So I'm like, oh, boom, man, let me get my notebook. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? What are you looking for? You know, I can be anything you want, man, you know? So, I mean, so her two things were, I want someone that's hardworking. She said, check, man, I can work hard, especially you pay me, you know? And number two, she says, hey, I want someone that's responsible. I said, perfect. Because anytime anything's going wrong, people said I was always responsible. I'm telling you, that's always the way. I said, boom, that's me. Boom, don't look any further. You got the whole package right here. You know? But anyway, needless to say is that growing up, yeah, you're mentioned in a negative way. That's kind of disappointing. That's kind of disappointing. It's happened to me many, many times. And praise the Lord, as I got older, I hope it's kind of, you know, it's balanced out to be mentioned in a good way. What about this though? What if your name isn't even mentioned at all when it should have been mentioned? You know, what if it's not even mentioned at all? Like even the camp, man. Man, you know all the leaders here. I'm not going to name them all because then I won't mention one. They'll get mad. But all the ones who are involved with this and making this happen, man, praise the Lord for it. But imagine not even mentioning it. Everything happened, man. You guys go back revived and on fire and all this. And then they mention, you know, they mention a few people, maybe not like the main person and the main couple people. I know that sounds like cheesy, but it's kind of disappointing when you're not mentioned sometimes, even though you're a blessing, you've done stuff. You've been a blessing and you're not mentioned. So in all that being said, how do you think God feels when we don't ever mention him? And that's the first thing right here. Just mentioning, ye that mention the Lord, with all that the Lord has done for us, man. And we've heard about this in the songs that we've sung. We've heard about in the preaching this morning. We've heard of Brother Pat. Out of all that he's done for us, imagine how God feels that we wouldn't even mention him. Not even a little bit. In a prayer or just telling someone or saying something as simple as praise the Lord. You know, thank God. You know, never mind praying without ceasing. I mean, forget it. But imagine how God would feel. Imagine how he feels. And you know what our answer is usually? And it's like, well, God, man, he's God. You know, he's so big. He's powerful. He did all of this. He created the stars and the earth and the heavens. And he did all these things. What does he care if I mention him? And see, that's where we're wrong already. Because we know the title. We've been taught in Sunday school and in our churches, all of yous. Okay, you're in a great church. We've been taught about God, and we've been taught all about him. Great messages. But the problem is, you know what? We know his title, but we really don't know the man. We know his title. We know who God is, but that is one big reason why we won't mention him. We really don't know who God is. Do we really know who God is? We just know him from Sunday school, from church, from things that we heard. But do we have a relationship with him that we can actually mention him? But that's one reason why. You know that God is, he's very personable. You know what I mean? He's emotional. You know God's emotional. You know love is an emotion? Love is an emotion. Love caused God to leave heaven to come down here and die in your place, in my place. That's an emotional decision. People say, don't make an emotional decision. Man, I make emotional decisions. You know, I make emotional. I mean, hey, I understand you got to get the right counsel. You know what I mean? I understand there's ways of being foolish about it. But God's an emotional God. And he's personable. He's someone we can talk to at any time, in any place. And that's the blessing of it. Why don't we mention him at all? One reason is because we really don't know him. We know of him. And hopefully we're all saved in here. And some of us are even saved. I remember that message of Pastor Mel, saved but not a Christian, man. Yeah, we know God, but you know what? Christianity is so far from it, you know? But anyway, hey, make mention of the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You guys know the verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Do you see that he only wants us to acknowledge? That's mentioning him, right? Acknowledging him, that he's there. That's all he's looking for in that first step, making mention of him. How difficult is it? And yet it is difficult for a lot of us. You know why? One reason is because we don't know him. Look at a couple other reasons. Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. Man, and I'm not talking right now. On this point, I'm not talking about getting out on the street, man, with a loudspeaker and street preaching. Praise the Lord if you do. You know, I'm not talking about a scripture sign and just yelling and witnessing every person you meet. Hey, praise the Lord if you do. I'm talking about just mentioning him. Just bringing him up. Just talking to him. Just thanking him for something good that you have. Because everything we have is because of him. He's the reason we're here tonight. In Genesis chapter 40, hey, we won't go through the whole story, but in Genesis chapter 40, this is when... the butler and the baker, right? They're in the prison with Joseph. And Joseph can interpret dreams. God gave him that ability, right, to interpret dreams. And the first guy to come to him was the butler. The butler's name was probably Jeffrey. You don't know Jeffrey. But anyway, the butler, Jeffrey, you know, Master William, you know. But anyway, the butler comes to him first and tells Joseph his dream. And Joseph interprets it and tells him, hey, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift you up. He's going to put you right back to where you were. You know, interprets his dream. And look in verse 14. But think on me, and this is the first mention of the word mention. Verse 14. But think on me, this is Joseph talking to Jeffrey, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Is Joseph asking him to do a difficult thing? Like, I mean, you just told him his dream, told him everything is going to happen, and he just says, hey, just mention. That's all I want you to do. Just mention me to Pharaoh, Joseph tells him. And it goes on in the rest of the chapter. Now the baker comes to him, and everyone knows what happens with the baker, right? The baker, he comes to Joseph, sees that he can interpret dreams. He comes to him, and Joseph tells him, you know, in 3 days, your head's going to be lifted off your body. So he got kind of got bad news. I'm sure he's optimistic, you know, while I was trying to lose some weight and this and that, you know, but whatever. In any case, it wasn't good news. But look in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He didn't remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Forgot him. He didn't make mention of Joseph, even though Joseph deserved it. Everything Joseph said came true. There was no reason for him not to mention what Joseph did. And yet, you know what? He forgets. He did not remember Joseph, even though he deserved it. You know what happens? You know what? Another reason why? One reason we don't mention God, we don't really know him. You know there's another reason we don't mention him? Because we forgot what he did for us. We forget what he did for us. And man, listen, young people, I understand. Like I said, I grew up in church. I understand, like Brother Pat says, we look at these people that have been out in the world and they get saved and we think that they should have more joy than us. You know what I mean? Like they were saved from some miraculous. No, it's a blessing that we didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. Right? Just like Brother Pat said before. That's a blessing. We got to realize what God really did for us. Because the moment we forget that, we're not going to mention him. We're not going to mention him, just like the butler. He left. He didn't even remember Joseph. All the good that happened and Joseph telling him where he was going to be restored, and he didn't remember him at all, so he didn't make mention of him. That's another reason why. Look at chapter 41, verse 1. Watch this. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. So now 2 years later, see what happened? There's a loss of time. There's a loss of time. He was supposed to mention something, and it cost Joseph 2 years. 2 years. You know, there's a lot of time wasted, man. That was the result of it. A loss of time. And like I said before, man, it's not any easier as you get older. I used to think that as a teenager, by the way. I used to think, okay, man, when I get married and have kids and, you know, and then I can, man, I'll be in church all the time and, you know, I can serve and do this or that. But you know what? The decisions I made as a teenager affected my whole life up until this point. It's affected. Everything that I did affected it up until this point. It doesn't get any easier. And if we're going to forget what God does, not mention him, not care about him, let me tell you something, we're going to lose years. There's times I wish I could go back. Honestly, I don't even want to be any younger. I turned 40. I don't even care about going back. I wish I was 18 again. Not really. But I tell you what, out of all the years I could go back and change some things, it would have been my teenage years. Not my 20s and 30s, although I made a mess quite a few times in there too, I'm sure. But I tell you what, the teenage years are the ones I'd go back and change some things. Maybe change some things that I ever looked at or listened to. You know what I mean? Some relationships or whatever the case may be, I would have changed those things so they weren't always in here, in my mind. But I tell you what, you can't forget what he's done for us, and we get a loss of time when we don't do that. We get distracted. And you know what the butler got distracted by? And this is another reason too. He got distracted by the goodness of God. He got distracted by how good life was now. The butler's back. He's serving the cup to Pharaoh. There's no problem. Pharaoh's happy with him. You know why he forgot Joseph? Because life was good. We actually don't mention God and forget about him. We're distracted by his own goodness. We realize that everything we have is because of the Lord. That your good health and everything going on right now, and none of us have it that bad, man. I understand. I'm sure there's in a crowd this big, people are going through some things, young people. I'm sure that that's the fact. That's the case. But regardless, he's given us so much. He's blessed us, and there's no reason not to mention him. But sometimes we'll actually be distracted by the goodness of God. You know what? Right now in your life, everything's going smooth, probably. Everything's going okay. I'm doing my own thing. Whatever. Hey, I'm still going to church. You know what? That's when we don't mention him. We're distracted by his goodness. That's what God's long-suffering is. He'll allow us to do those things. But you know what? God will always also give us enough rope to hang ourselves to. That's why there's always consequences. And that's why we need to mention him. The reason we won't mention him, we forget about him. We forget about him. Don't even acknowledge that he's there. But you know what? Hey, just a simple thing like, hey, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. Just something simple. That's all God wants. Just to mention. Right? Just mentioning someone goes such a long way. But look at the next thing. Go back to Isaiah 62. I don't want to spend that much time on that. But Isaiah chapter 62. I wouldn't be good in sword drills either. Okay, here we are. Somewhere over here. Watch now. Because now it steps up a notch. Now it steps up a notch. So ye that make mention of the Lord. I guarantee you start making mention of the Lord a little bit, just thanking them for things in your life, okay? Just maybe mentioning them to somebody, you know what I mean? Lord willing, just mentioning his name, I guarantee the next step will come. Watch this. He says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So that's the second thing. Keep not silence. And you see there's like a progression, like stepping up a notch. This isn't even a suggestion here. This isn't a suggestion, well, you know what I mean? If you can, don't, you know, do this, do that. If you have an opportunity, go ahead and speak. No, he's telling Israel right here, he's telling, hey, keep not silence. Keep not silence. You know what? Most of us, and I've learned a few of you, getting to know you a little bit and watching you around camp, some of us really need to shut up. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, we really got to be quiet. You know, some of us have big mouths, including me. But in this case, man, when it's concerning the Lord, speaking to him, speaking about him, you know what? Keep not silence. Keep not silence. It begins with mentioning, but then it says, hey, now concerning the Lord, keep not silence. You know that we're not too silent. We're not too silent about the things that we love, right? We're not silent about things we love. I mean, if I spoke to any one of you right now for a few minutes, I would know the things that you really like. You know, something that's important to you. Guys, it could be sports, women, you know, shopping, I guess. I don't know, but regardless, if I get into that, let me say it to the guys, because I don't know what you guys, girls like. But say a guy, I go to, man, you guys could talk of sports, right? I bring up football or basketball or something like that. You may be able to give me stats on things. Man, you could talk my ear off for an hour about something you love. You can, and I could do the same thing, man. I could talk to you about fishing. I could talk to you about basketball. I could talk to you about things that I love to do. And that's, hey, we're never silent about the things that we love. But what about when it comes to the Lord? We're silent about those things. In fact, if we really love God, or if man love God, the same is known of him, especially in his speech, especially in the speech. We talk to people, you know what? Also, we talk to people that we love, right? We talk to people that we love. We actually avoid the annoying ones, right? Well, whatever. But you should still talk to them too, okay? But we talk to people that we love. And same thing with the Lord. Do we really love him that we'll actually go out of our way to keep not silence, to talk about him and talk to him or talk to somebody about him? Look at Psalms 32. Psalms chapter 32. Keep not silence concerning him. But it all starts with just mentioning him. See, it's always a progression. See how simple this is? Just mentioning him. Because it's hard to go from not mentioning him at all to someone putting you on a street corner with a megaphone. That's difficult to do, because that's happened to me. Oh, yeah, I want to go out these guys. Let's see how street preaching is. And I get up there. Oh, yeah, I could quote the verses I learned in Sunday school. You know what? What's crazy about it? I hardly ever mention them if it wasn't for street preaching. So how does that work? You know, it's like a wrong balance. But here in Psalm chapter 32, look at this. David writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. You see, we're all blessed, right? We don't have to keep like beating the dead horse. We're all blessed, right? We're blessed here. Transgressions forgiven. The Lord took care of our sin. We are blessed. Look in verse 3. David says, when I kept silence, look what the result was. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. Selah. You see that? He kept silence. And what was the result of him keeping silence? I kept silence and my bones waxed through my roaring all the day long. There was consequences for keeping silent. You know, he couldn't keep it inside, David. He couldn't keep it inside. Look in verse 5. Finally, I acknowledge my sin. We talked about acknowledge before. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Praise the Lord for that. He couldn't keep it inside because David knew God. It went further than just mentioning him, like, praise the Lord, Lord willing. No, he took it to the next step. He couldn't keep it inside anymore. He kept not silence. And look at the blessing it was. Look in verse 7 and 8. These are excellent verses. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Man, excellent verse. Selah. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You know how all that happens? It happens because he kept not silence. It wasn't like just waiting for God to do something. No, you got to take the action. Keep not silence. Talk about him. Mention him. Learn to love him. Learn who he is. And the blessing of it is thou art my hiding place, David said. You know, a refuge to go into. That's what God is. That's what he is. He is a refuge. He is a hiding place. And then, and it's found nowhere else. Only through the Lord. Look in, look at your Psalms. Let's go to chapter 39. David says again, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with bridle while the wicked is before me. Okay, so he's keeping his mouth shut in a good way, but watch this. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. He held his peace even from good. So now he's just shutting his mouth about everything. You know, you ever get that kind of attitude? Like, oh man, this is it. I'm not even talking good or bad. This is driving me crazy. That's where David is right now. I held my peace even from good. What was the result? My sorrow was stirred. You know, that's the result? My sorrow was stirred. You know what? Everyone's like different personalities, but this is kind of like my personality. I'm very like non-confrontational. I don't like confrontation. And man, if something's bothering me, ask my wife because it drives her crazy. That's why she calls credit card people. I sick her on people, you know, because I don't want to do it. You know, I'm just a big wimp. But I keep things inside of me. You know what I mean? I'll never just, you know, I keep things inside of me, maybe anger or something. It could be towards something or a situation. And I keep it in there so long that, man, it could get me physically sick. It gets me crazy, guys. It has to come out. And then you know what? Before it's too long, I just run. I run from places. Honestly, I moved from Las Vegas to New York City because I was running. I was running because I didn't want to confront a situation. Ask my wife, go on. That was one decision we didn't pray about. I was like, I'm going back to New York. You know, called Pastor Mike, hey, can I come back? Yeah, okay. You know, boom, I was back. I ran because something inside me. You know what? David said, David had this, he didn't want to speak good or bad, but you know what? He couldn't keep silence. He had to just let it out. Man, that's a blessing to be that way in speaking to someone or even your relationship, talking to the Lord and praying to him, man, that you just can't keep it in. You could just spill it all to him. And the Lord's the best one to tell it all to. I mean, I know we all have friends, people we confide in, and I have them, man, even back here in New York and back upstate, people I can confide in and kind of like, you know, pour my heart out to. But man, it's nothing like the Lord. You know, keep not silence. Keep not silence. But look in, you're in Psalms. Go back to chapter 30. And then we'll move on. Chapter 30. We won't read the whole chapter, but an excellent chapter. Verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. He keeps going through here. Look at the whole conclusion to the thing in verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. See, that's the conclusion, the end of it, man. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I will give thanks unto thee forever. That's where we got to get. You know, first is just to mention him. Just get used to mentioning his name, just little by little. And you know what it's going to turn into? I guarantee it's keeping not silence. He's going to give you so much of him, so to speak, and get to know him so good and allow him to control your life, and it'll just come out. You'll automatically be almost a natural thing just to talk about him and praise him and talk to people about him and talk to him personally. Talk to him personally. But go back to Isaiah 62. Look at this last thing. Isaiah chapter 62. You guys still with me? Okay, good. Thank you, Anthony. Hey, this is better than medieval times, right? Okay, praise the Lord. He came from medieval times. He came to our bunk at about, 3 o'clock in the morning? Four in the morning. Believe me, I heard it because someone set up brooms and shovels all over the door. So when he opened it, it all crashed. And I woke up and I was up ever since, by the way. You know, I was thinking about medieval times all day. You know, but anyway, I'm sure it's a nice place, man. Where was I, man? Okay, Isaiah 62. Once I get my mind on medieval times, it's done. Isaiah chapter 62, look in verse. Okay. Hey, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Here's the final thing right here. Look what he tells Israel too, and tells us, hey. Verse 7. And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know what he's telling Israel? Israel's in a desperate situation right now. Desperate situation. A messed up situation. Isaiah is telling them the whole first 40 chapters of Isaiah is all just, man, judgment of what's coming on them. They're in a desperate situation. But he tells them here, you know what? Give him no rest. Give him no rest. They're talking about giving God. Don't give him a break. And because the Lord, he wants to bless them, like I said. He wants to fulfill his promise to them. So don't give him a break. Don't hold your peace. Don't give him any rest, Isaiah is telling them, speaking about their relationship to the Lord. Don't give them a break at all. Desperate times. I tell you what, there's desperate times in each one of our lives. I tell you, if they haven't come already, they will come. That's a promise. That's like a guarantee. Yeah. That all of us are going to have situations that are going to be, it is going to seem hopeless and helpless, man. Okay, I've been through them, and I'm sure others in here have already, even at a young age. But there are situations coming up, you know what I mean, that you will need that relationship. You will need that connection, man, with the Lord. You need those lines open. You know what I mean? You got to activate it. You ever get the gift cards that someone gives you and then you got to call the 1-800 number to activate it? Like, it's no good. It's just there. But to activate it, man, to actually, like, tap into it. And that's what we need when it comes to the Lord. And he doesn't want to get us to give him a break. That's what the blessing is. Because you know what? The Lord is the only one that you could come to at any time, any place, right? Anywhere is the same as any place, but what, I had another anywhere in there, right? Anywhere, anytime, any place. You know what? And he maintains his character and doesn't change. That's the blessing about it. Because I tell you what, I promise, I'll give anyone here my phone number. You can call me 3 o'clock in the morning about something spiritual, okay? But and I'd be more than happy to talk to you. But you know what happens? At 3 o'clock in the morning, after about 10 minutes, I figure out who you are, okay? And I have to get my mind clear of my recurring dream of a naked Indian chasing me and I can't run, you know? So like, I have all this stuff in my mind. I'm sorry, but never mind my dreams. But anyway, what I'm saying is, bottom line is, hey, we want to help, but you know what? My character, I'll change. If you give me 3 o'clock in the morning, I may not tell you exactly what I say on a Sunday morning when I have my tie on, or tonight when I got my vest. Okay? But the Lord, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the only one we can go to, and he never changes. That's the blessing about it, man, because he never gets tired. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're almost done. I'm going to conclude this with a testimony, a couple verses, just to hit something home for you. Isaiah chapter 40. These are very familiar verses. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. You know what a blessing is? The Lord, he doesn't get tired. He's not like us. You know what I mean? I could lay you down, I could fail you. He can't. It's impossible for him to let you down. He won't be sleeping. He won't be busy. He'll always speak to you. Look in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. He's actually giving you that same power. When you ask him, he's going to give you that same power, right? To the faint and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then you have the famous, man, this is a great verse here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. And I know you've heard this so many times, and I've got it from somebody else, you know what I mean? And that's what preaching is. It's like plagiarizing. Like, if I take one guy's thing, it's plagiarizing. But if I take a lot of messages of people that I heard together, it's called research. But in any case, and that's what I do. I research. I don't plagiarize. But anyway, hey, I think Pastor Mike said it. He said it the best. I think he taught it. But I mean, talking about waiting on the Lord, not just like sitting there twiddling your thumbs, you know, in a desperate situation, okay, Lord, you know, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to help. No, a waiter, like in a restaurant, someone who waits on you, someone who's busy, someone who's watching you. You know what I mean? The craziest waiters are in the Philippines, actually. I noticed, right? The waiters, because they sit and watch you. It's almost uncomfortable to eat because they're right there. And as you're eating, you look out of the corner, you're not like, goodness, man, you know what I mean? I'm hoping I don't spill rice, it gets pee stuck on my cheek. They'll come off and like take it off, you know, and stuff. But anyway, that's a good waiter. Someone who, you know what I mean, waits, that's what we're talking about, waiting on the Lord, not just sitting there. You know what I mean? No, you're doing, you're busy, you know, seeking after him, you're busy doing what you have to do. And give him no rest. Give them no rest. That's what the waiters in the Philippines do. They don't even give you a break to eat. Okay? They're so busy changing things, doing this, they give you no rest. You know what God wants us to do? He doesn't want us giving him a break. Really. He doesn't want us giving him any rest. And you know, the Lord may allow you to go through a situation or let something come into your life that you have no control over whatsoever. And the only thing you can do is bother him. That's all you can do. I want to just give you just a quick testimony, man. And I hate using things that have to do with me. I just don't have the big book on a million illustrations and stuff. But my wife and I, we got married in the Philippines August 7th, 1998. It was 18 and something years ago. And we got married there. And because of immigration stuff, man, I just didn't do my research. I was so excited about getting married and that she actually said yes and stuff. I didn't think about these things. And so we get married in the Philippines. I figure, hey, she's my wife, so now that's a done deal, huh? You know, boom. So anyway, 4 months later, after being married, 4 months, they didn't renew my visa, okay, to stay in the Philippines. So I said, okay, you know, whatever. I got married here. Here's my wife. We'll go back to the States, and that's just the way it is. And they said, no. They said, you have to go home and apply for a visa to get here back into the States. So I said, okay. So now, oh my goodness, I mean, it was just a very like hard emotional time. After 4 months of marriage, I have to leave and go back to the States to petition for her to come. When all said and done, it took me a year and 2 months. And in those year and 2 months, I didn't see her. I couldn't come back. I couldn't go back to the Philippines because when I went to Las Vegas, I had to keep a job. You have to show immigration, all this nonsense to prove that you can take care of her. And let me tell you something, man. Uncle Paul was not a nice guy during that time. And I was in a desperate, man, I was in a desperate situation. This is something that was, man, I just can't explain it. I mean, it was very, very difficult. And you know what? I, even still to this day, I don't know exactly why God did it. Probably just to teach me this. But that was probably the most, that time in my life was probably the most time that I ever, man, I did not leave God alone. I said, you have to get her back to me. You know, I can only afford to call her once a week. We'd have a time. You know, once a week for a year and a half talking to her. And, that's one time that I had to bother God. It was no longer just mentioning him, keeping out silence and talking to him. It was a time that I had to constantly be on the Lord. And I remember one time, I climbed up to a mountain in Las Vegas, surrounded by mountains. And one of the mountains, I tried to make a goal to climb all of them. And one, I climbed to the top, and I tried to get up there before everyone else because I was thinking about my wife. I mean, she's always on my mind. And I get up there, and man, I get to the top mountain, and man, I start crying like crazy, asking God, I said, Lord, you got to get her back, man. I need her. I need her back. No matter what, you have to make it happen. I mean, it was almost a demand. I didn't give him any rest whatsoever. And it's a blessing because, in another 2 weeks, I'm going to Las Vegas to visit my brother. And I want to go back up to that same mountain, man, and thank God because I never thanked him at that spot. But all that being said, you know what God had to teach me, man? He had to teach me. He put us in a situation. He put me in a situation where I couldn't give him any rest. He was the only one that could help me. Nobody else could. Politicians, immigration officers, no one I knew could do anything whatsoever. The Lord was the only one who could do it. And he put me in that situation. And I want to end with just one verse in Isaiah. We're still there. Chapter 7. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to show you the one thing that does make God weary. Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 10. Won't go through the whole story here, but he's speaking to King Ahaz, the Lord, and he said, and Syria, I believe it's Syria, has given them trouble, and they're confederate with Ephraim, and they're having, there's a war going on here, and Ahaz, they're going to be attacked, but Ahaz said, I'm sorry, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in height above. He's pretty much given Ahaz the, hey, ask me anything you want. Any kind of sign you want, and I'm going to do it. Verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. He says, I'm not going to ask. Right? He kept silence. Not even going to mention. He's not even going to ask God. And here's what wearies him. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Nothing wearies God like us going through life and trying to take care of things and doing things on our own when God's the one who wants to do it. That's what wearies God. And that's pretty much the conclusion of this whole thing. Hey, making mention, keep not silence, and giving him no rest. That's what's the blessing about the Lord, man. He never rests. He's always there as a help in trouble. Always a presence. Always. But I tell you what, you want to weary God? You know what I mean? You can weary men. You can weary your youth leaders. But you want to weary God? Go ahead and just continue going on. Just continue going on, doing what you're doing, and just keep him out of the equation. That's what wearies God. Imagine, it's all opposite. It's all opposite. He wants you to be on him all the time. He doesn't want to break the Lord. Don't give him a break at all. Always have communication, praying without ceasing, right? Right? Always continue an instant in prayer. Always asking him things. Always. Because that's what keeps it going. That's what keeps the lines open. But if we want to weary him, you know what? Don't do it. Don't do it. But you know what? There may be a time, and it happened to me, there may be a time when you're young. I was 21 years old, 22 years old, and the Lord put me in a situation where I had to learn a lesson because there was no other way. And I'm glad he taught me that. Praise the Lord, I'm glad he taught me that. And man, I just hope that was a blessing to you. And you know what? Let's stand up, and we'll stand up so we don't fall asleep. And we'll have a word of prayer. I mean, have Brother Pat come up here, and we can finish with a song. But I appreciate your attention, and we're here because we want the best for you. We want to see your lives prosper. We want to see God use you. Man, praise the Lord for how he's using you. Man, it's such a blessing to see you guys grow up, to really love God and to do the right thing. And we just encourage you to continue and encourage you to keep going and not to quit. And don't resent Christianity and resent the Lord because of something somebody did, even a watchman, even a leader or someone. But keep those lines open with the Lord. Keep that communication, keep those lines open and tap into any time. Mention them, keep not silence, and man, don't give them a break. Because if you start trying to give him a break, he may put you in a situation where you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. And you know what? I'm glad the Lord taught me that, but I wish it didn't have to be that situation. And but thank you for your attention. You want to? Yeah, let's have a word of prayer, and then we can maybe sing a song. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you do not get weary, Father. You don't faint, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, at any time. Thank you, Father, for the access, Father, because of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for the help. I thank you, Lord, for the things, Lord, and in 40 years of life, Father, your faithfulness to me, Father, and all the things, Lord, you've brought me through, Lord. And what a blessing, Father, to do it with you, Lord. Father, I don't know where I'd be without you, Lord. And I just pray for these young people, Lord. I pray, Father, this could have been profitable to them, Father, tonight. Lord, I don't know their situations, Father. Lord, I don't know what their home life is like. I don't know the relationship they have with their parents, pastor, youth leaders, Father, with other relationships, things that they're involved in, Lord. Lord, you know each and every one of their hearts, Lord. But I pray, Father, you would just help them, Lord, to seek you, Father, to get you involved in every aspect of their life. Thank you for being such a personable God. Thank you for being a loving God, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord, you've done for us, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would just continue blessing, Lord, even the song that we sing, Father, and the rest of this night, Lord, that we would draw closer to you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.